World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, first thing, man, we want to acknowledge Betty. Betty's on her way down to Anchor Ridge. I think where she's heading down there today with some more supplies. About the 20th trip Betty's taking down through there. So, Betty, we just pray for traveling mercies for you to get down there. And, you know, it's I'm working on 6 months now. And I don't know if you folks are aware of this or not, but the Trump administration immediately got the Corps of Engineers working down there in that area. So, you know, they went 5 months with the Biden administration, basically ignored the fact of what had happened down there in that area. And Trump sent in the Corps of Engineers. So hopefully things are picking up a little bit. The weather's going to start getting a little bit warmer. I don't know if there's a whole lot of people living in tents anymore. Maybe there are. I don't know. I'm guessing. But I think now they're probably going to start looking towards that rebuilding phase. And the fact that, oh, my God. Hey, folks, insurance companies are going broke. You know that, don't you? Come on. You know that. Insurance companies are going broke with what's going on in what's going on in California, what's going on down there in Swannanoa. It's just the reality of it is my old buddy Flip Benham said that God has more disaster than the federal government has relief. So thank you, Betty, for all that you're trying to do down there. And you guys know that we've been actively involved in supporting other ministries down there. And we're going to continue to. But the reality of it is at some point, we got to begin to rebuild. It's the hardest part. So thanks, Betty, for doing that. Thanks for all of you that have helped us keep balls in the air down there and help people out down there. And Clay's been doing some work, organizational work down there. Mark Trump's been kicking butt down there. So praise the Lord on that. Mel's got her hand up. Go ahead, Mel.
Thanks, Coach. Hey, I just have a couple of announcements today and a new action to announce.
Good.
You know, if you want to go to the hurricane information, that's at the Liberty Action Network. So feel free to check that out. We're trying to keep that up to date. I'm working with Clay and, you know, all the Gary and the team. So, but what I wanted to announce today is I've got a couple of events I just want to promote, first of all, and that is on February 12th, Spencer, if you could go to the events tab. There you go. Coach Dave's going to be at the Fairfield County Conservatives on the 12th. And then Pastor Bill's going to be at the garage, Jeff Klein's garage on the 18th.
No, my fault. There's also I got to get this to you. It's my fault. They're having a reception type thing for Pastor Bill. I'll get the date to you at his church. I'll get that date to you. Cal Zastro's coming in town. Some others are coming in town. So I'll get that date to you as well.
Sounds great. Thanks. Hey, and then Spencer, if you go to the front page, just scroll down to the top action. This is a new one that came to me from Craig Mickle. It's a tiny home tour, an invitation to the local church. If you could just click on that. So there's a ministry in the Dayton, Ohio area called Dear Dinah. And if you know the story of Dinah, you know what happened to her in the Bible. But anyway, this is an effort to help people who are victims of human trafficking. So Selah is a little village that they're creating with tiny homes. And what they're doing to kind of promote and to create funds and things and support for their effort is they're taking a tiny home to different churches. So they're looking for churches to go to. And so they're kind of scheduling people. If Craig's in the room, you know, Craig, if you want to speak to this.
Well, they're doing some very out of the box things that are moving the ball down the field to help the victims of it. They also have, you know, training. And if people in Ohio want to support this, this would be a great organization to be attached to. And they do training and stuff like that. So check out DearDiana.org.
Maybe can you throw that up there real quick, Spence? Dear Diana, there's a link down at the bottom. Maybe Mel already had it up. I was doodling. So there's what Mel's talking about. See, friends, this is what's really I hate the term. Are you done, Mel? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I just think that, you know, while we're, you know, tracking along with Trump and everything that's happening politically, we really do need to focus on these important actions for the kingdom. So anyway, just wanted to bring it up. Thanks, Coach.
Sure. These are Pass the Salt, Coach Dave Live, what they call parachurch ministry. Now, I don't even know who came up with that term, parachurch ministry, because it's been my experience, and I'm not casting aspersions at anybody, that most of the Christianity that I see being done is being done outside the church. It's not the local church that does it. The local church likes to feed people, maybe. That's about it. They'll feed people. But other than that, there's very little influence of your church and your local community. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I'm just telling you the truth, right? And it's the parachurch ministries. Para means to come alongside, a paraclete, to come alongside. And what we're seeing happening here, at least at Coach Dave Live, is all kinds of parachurch ministries that are popping up. As Chad would say, picking up where the church left off. So Craig Mickle saw something about human trafficking or child trafficking of children. He said, daggone, I'm going to do something about that. Now, Craig, they would call you a parachurch ministry, like not really important. You're just kind of a parachurch. And then Randy gets out about... He gets going on about the staking and pulling down, praying down strongholds. And Randy gets out there and does it. And Randy's a parachurch ministry. It's a parachurch, whatever that means. And there's the parachurch that jumped up because church isn't doing what it's supposed to do. But just a question, Craig. I'm not trying to embarrass him. Randy, not trying to embarrass anybody out there. Hey Randy, I'm just assuming Randy's in there. He's always in here. Doesn't matter if he's not. I don't take attendance. Is the local church helping you? Craig, is there a local church coming alongside helping you?
I'm making contacts, and there are. You know, I mean, you got to go out and look for it. Most of them aren't, you know.
The answer is no.
But the thing is, too, there's Elijah. You know, there's an Elijah syndrome. You know, I'm the only one. Well, that's not true, because there were 7,000. The thing is right. We got to push forward, and God's got to open the doors. He's a part in this whole thing. But you can get easily discouraged, and discouragement is one of the tools of the devil. Well, can't get anything here. I'm just going to quit. Persevere. Keep moving. God will open doors.
Yep. Because, Craig, here's been my position, and I just want to encourage all of you. If you go to a local church and you try to get the local church involved, you better be ready for disappointment. The wheels of justice turn slowly at your local church. The pastor may support it, but you got to take it to the elder board. Anybody out there know what I'm talking about? And so you just want to do something simple. You say, hey, pastor, you think maybe we could? I'm just using an example. Could we maybe raise $2,000 and maybe buy a camper and help it to the people down there in Swannanoa? Well, sister, that sounds like a good idea. And the next thing you know, you never hear back from it, right? Well, because we're an ingrown toenail. If you want to go serve, you can go serve, but we're not going to do that. We're going to serve inside the church. We're going to be an ingrown toenail, and we'll serve inside the church. That's why all these parachurch ministries are popping up, because Craig gets a call upon his life about the children. He wants to do something about it, and nobody will help him, so he goes and does it. Steve Deck, I could go on. I mean, I don't want to say names, because Mel, look what Mel Harrison's done with the Liberty Action Network. She just did it and ran with it. And no pastor giving her any money. Nobody supported. Church probably doesn't even know about it. This is, in my opinion, this genuine Christianity. This is how it's supposed to. Can you guys imagine? Can you imagine if I was a football coach, which I was, and some kid comes along, some young man comes along to me and says, Coach, look, I really want to get really, really strong for next year. I want to be starting tailback next year. I really, really want to work out. And I say, okay. And he says, look, I found this trainer down, this guy named Pastor Payne. I want to go down there and have him train me. But the coach would probably say, no. You come here and work under us. Don't you be going down there to that Pastor Payne. We don't know what he's going to be doing down there. Churches operate that way too. Churches operate that way. Churches don't want you eating off of somebody else's table. Heaven forbid you might like their steak better than the steak that we have here. You know I'm telling you the truth, right? You know I'm telling you the truth. And it's rare, I think, rare for a pastor, church leadership, to encourage someone to get involved in a ministry that is not their ministry. Would anybody want to disagree with that? This would be a good time to come in if you'd like to disagree with it. I'm talking in generalities now. This is, if it's not done here in our, under our roof, we can get involved with it.
Amen to that, Coach.
100% right. Correct.
Yep. And the worst thing, one of the worst things is control. Oh, they have to have control. They are so afraid of wildfire. So afraid of it. You know, they're so afraid that, I'm just telling you the truth. It's my experience, right? They're so afraid at the church that some of the people at church might want to get involved with Craig and what Craig's doing rather than their Saturday morning prayer gathering. Just telling you the truth. So these things are popping up all over. And I guess a good question we should all ask ourselves that I often ask myself, got beyond it actually. Why do I need a pastor's permission to do something the Lord's called me to do? And why wouldn't the pastor, if I went to the pastor, Pastor, look, I've really got it on my heart that I'd like to start, I'd like to start a men's hunting club, a men's hunting club here at the church. Why don't they say, yeah, go for it, dude. Yes, that's your call. You go. That's not the response, is it? Because they want to be able to micromanage it. They want to micromanage it because why? They want to stop wildfire, which may impact other people in the church. And the last thing they want is the people sitting in the church to control what's going on in the pulpit. You don't have to say amen. I've just been around long enough to know how it works, all right? I'm just telling you. And the church, the local church, stifles the individual gospel. It's sad. It's really, really sad. And wherever we came up with the word parachurch ministry, Chad Estes says that we pick up where the church left off. If I was a pastor, somebody came alongside me and said, Coach, I'd really like to start a men's fishing club. I'd say, dude, I'll buy the worms. I'm not going to sit back and worry about what doctrine they're teaching. I'm bringing men into the kingdom here. Come on. Pastor, teach your men to fish. Some guy wants to go fishing, help him go fish. You can clean up the fish later on. Folks, I'm just telling you, that's not the mentality of our local church. Come into our church, listen to the guy up on the pulpit, do everything he says, and don't question anything. Somebody give me a thumbs up. I feel like I'm by myself in here today. That's what we're dealing with. That's why we're in the mess we're in. And go ahead, Johnny, because I called Jim. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's just this battle with the flesh. You know, it's the biggest bump in the road, I think, for all of us, because we're not there yet. We're not going to be there until God says it's time. And so yeah, we rely on the flesh. It's a darn war within ourselves.
So Johnny, I got invited to, I'm going to say it, Glenn. I got invited. Glenn worked and worked and worked and got a chance for me to come to his men's group at his church and do a Saturday morning, whatever, Coach Dave thing. And he really worked hard to do it, really did. And I could tell you, the whole time I was there, the tension of the leaders that I might say something they didn't want said, it was palpable. It's palpable. It was sad because I came there to set some man's heart on fire, and the guy who was in charge wanted to make sure I didn't. Mm-hmm. He wanted to make sure nobody's. Glenn, you don't have to come in here, Glenn. I know I'm telling you the truth. I see it everywhere I go. Everywhere.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, he had something to say at the end there.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of manage.
He peed on the fire after I was done, right? He peed on the fire. In other words, after I got done telling guys and inspiring them, getting them all fired up, he wanted to make sure that they went through the leadership. Now, you've got to go through. Yeah. It's all control, friends. Now, hang on. Anytime you say all, you make a mistake, because it's not all, but the majority of them is. The majority of them are. Please don't take this wrong if you're one of these people. I've had pastors, P-A-S-T-O-R-S, contact me and say, hey, coach, what can we do to help down there in North Carolina? They're asking me? They're asking me? I ought to be asking them. Got it backwards. I'm not being critical. It's the way we've been programmed to operate. Good man. I'm not making fun of anybody who called me. I'm just showing you how it operates. So we're in, folks, I'm going to pull a real quick switch on you here, okay? We are in the midst of the greatest shift that you and I in our lifetime have known. It's happening spiritually. It's happening happening governmentally. It's happening everywhere we look. The apple cart is being upset. They're upsetting the apple. Tradition. Remember that song? You don't have to look for it now. Tradition. What was that from? Fiddler on the Roof? No. Tradition. And that's, we are buried in tradition. The American church buried in tradition. Can I give you an example? Just bear with me here a second, okay? I'm just going to tell you. If I was going to start a church, here's kind of the way my thought process would go. Oh, gee, who's going to be my worship leader? Right? We fall into this pattern that we've seen everywhere else and think this is the way that you do it. This is the way that you do it. And I talked yesterday about the smoke machines and lights down and lights flashing and trying to conjure up the spirit, I guess. When really the call upon your life and the call upon my life just to be the salt of the earth and light of the world. I don't need a smoke machine. I don't need lights to walk out and do what God's called me to do. But wait, they take us into this place. They put in this place. They turn all these lights on around. They do smoke and do all that stuff. They get my emotions gone. Then the guy preaches a sermon. Then I go home and see you next week. See you next week. They say, well, we can't get anybody involved, and we're trying to do ministry work, and we can't get anybody. Oh, you want them to what? You want them to sweep the church? You want them to come and sweep the church? Is that what you want them to do? Huh? Don't you want to do? Are you training, equipping, and mobilizing the saints for the work of the ministry? Or are they serving the church? Which is it? It's a mess that we're in. It's a mess. Because I see it. And thank God Almighty for Donald Trump. And the reason I say that is, dudes, is he upsetting the apple cart or what? Now, I don't know if it's good or bad. Well, it depends who you ask. Hang on a second. Hang on. Pull up Maxine Waters for me. Hey, you can tell when you throw a rock into a crowd, you can tell who got hit with a rock by who squeals, right? Huh? USAID. I'm going to get into this. Huh? Look at these people. Huh? Look at these people. Look at these people. You know what they are? They're government hacks. LaMonica McIver, D, New Jersey, 10th District. LaMonica McIver is upset at what Trump's doing. It's going to hit her pocketbook. I hate to tell you that, right?
Coach, they're grifters.
Who in their right mind would ever vote for Maxine Waters? I mean, she's like a caricature of an idiot, isn't she? Yet people vote for her. Okay, so here's what's going on. We find out, I'm making the shift on you now. We find out from that USAID is the deep state. It's how the entire deep state is being funded. You know that. I'll show you some stuff here in a minute. It's how the entire deep, the USAID is the deep state. Because what's happened with USAID is that all these non-government organizations come to the teat of the government. USAID gets all this money and then doles it out to whoever they want to. And it's all communism. It's folks, that ain't Christianity. And it's the undermining of Christianity, the undermining of our country, USA, by your tax dollars and my tax dollars. And so Donald Trump gets elected, and he goes in there, says, I'm going to clean up the mess. And you can hear the pig squeal. Listen to this pig squeal. Go ahead.
We will not take this. We will fight back.
Fight back. Fight back.
And as I close out, because I know we've been out here for a long time, and God damn it, shut down the Senate.
Hang on. Isn't that what we tried to do on J6? Isn't that what they tried to do on J6? Huh? Now they're calling for it to be done. Are they going to lock them up? FBI going to go lock them up? Don't get me going on that one. Did you see that? They said maybe as many as 15,000 FBI agents have been involved with running down J6 or 50. They're not after child traffickers. They're not after dopers. No. 15,000 of them have been after J6ers, the FBI. And she wants more of it. Why? Because her 5,000. Thank you, Dale. She is getting her pockets on. Keep going.
Anytime a person can pay $250 million into a campaign and they be given full access to the Department of Treasury of the United States of America, we are at war.
What if we say that? Folks, there are great things going on. I'm telling you, there are great things. I could run down a litany of things here that Trump has done. And that guy has got some stones. Huh? He got some. Hey, Spencer, I'm just going down there. I'll get you in here. Pull up government buyout. Huh? This guy. Easy. More than 20,000 federal workers have Donald Trump offered them a buyout. He said, listen, you can take a buyout, retire, or you can be fired. Which one you want to? 20,000 of them are gone. Probably 20,000 of them, hopefully, never to be replaced. Never to be replaced. Because, see, we used to have people do things. Now we have computers. How much work can one computer do as opposed to 50 people? Can a computer do the work of 50 people? Of course it can. So they're screaming and hollering. Why? Because when the rock was thrown into the crowd, we know which one it hit. And it hit the government workers. The government workers. See, that's what's going on. He offered 20,000. There's a purge of the federal government going on. And those 20,000 federal workers, they ain't going to be replaced. He's going to do away with the Department of Education. Department of Education. Oh, man. Oh, my goodness. Okay, hang on. Okay, so where do you want to go, Coach? I got a lot of them, man. I just so much to show you. Point number 9. I'll get you in here in a second, show you. Number 9. Folks, it's the death of the Democratic Party. Right now, we're seeing it. It's the death of them. Everything they've been for, every minority organization they've been for, is now being exposed. And the USAID, we're finding out now, without getting into too much detail, the USAID is government money that went into this big pile and it was doled out to communists and transgender. They did everything they could to undermine Christianity through USAID. And Elon Musk got in there and said, are you kidding me? See, they're mad. They're mad at Elon Musk because they thought he was on their side. So Elon Musk got in, and he's still got to be careful. Who knows which side he's on? He got in there and he exposed the money, the freaking money that was being, are you kidding me? Point number 6. See if we can find that. Nah. It doesn't matter. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? So USAID, look right there. Stay right there. Paragraph 3. This is worse than 9-1-1 for Democrats. USAID is the primary vessel they use to achieve their political agenda. See, all the money would go into USAID, and then USAID would give the money out without any questions asked to every nefarious group they funded. USAID funded the deep state. USAID is and always has been the primary source of funding for the influence peddling schemes and for the indirect sources of income. So these hacks are getting money, tax dollars, from me and you to undermine everything we believe in. Another text, based on the reactions from within the party, it seems to me that dismantling USAID is Trump's biggest victory to date. It was his enemy's golden goose. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, Paul, you got to be careful. Look, hey, look, we don't know. Nature loves a vacuum. We think all this money is going to be saved, or is this money going to flow into something else? We got to be careful. Another text, based on the reactions from within the party, it seems to be that dismantling USAID is Trump's big... I'm sorry, I read that. Some sources were told during the campaign that Kamala's internal polling had her behind Trump, so his information is good. They were really pushed back, really... They're going to push back really hard now, folks. Huh? This is what remaking government looks like. Oh, my goodness. Point number three. I'm going to open it up, promise. I hope you come here for spiritual and informational. Try to collect it, huh? I got this from Mike Markham. Mike sent this to me today. Put it at 1.5 speed. The Art of Pretense, Guys and Illusion. It's pretty good. Go ahead.
Total depravity. Mankind is dead. We are eternal losers. We are blind and hopeless, relentlessly deviant, fatally self-centered, incorrigible beyond repair, and wildly unpredictable. We manipulate our self-image. We leverage our goodness, insist on our virtue, and marvel at our prestige. We are courageous when convenient and absent when expedient. We are outspoken when it is safe and silent when it costs. We are pre-wired to self-deceive. It's our old Adamic nature. We thus excel in the arts of pretense, guise, and illusion. We worship God, oh yes, but on our own terms. We specify which biblical commands are applicable to us and which are outdated. We are cleverly pragmatic as well. We thrive on automated spiritual routines. Not too carnal, not too holy. A balanced blend of functional mediocrity. We outwardly appear meek, but secretly yearn for recognition and silently grieve when our generosity is not aptly acknowledged. Year-long resentments abound in our church pews. Our prayers are seeded with formulaic buzzwords, front-loaded with personal needs and wants, of course, and then only briefly followed by intercession for others, mostly as an afterthought. I am praying for you, brother. We excel in the arts of pretense, guise, and illusion. Just a closer walk with thee, perhaps, but our actions often betray our good intentions. Minds drift throughout the sermon, no one can notice. Paltry amounts go into the offering and tithe plate, no one can notice. Smoldering grudges, silent resentments, no one can notice. Sensual glances to the opposite sex, cleverly disguised, no one can notice. Oh yes, we excel in the arts of pretense, guise, and illusion. When the prophet Jeremiah said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked," he knew what he was talking about. You see, we can easily acknowledge our sinful past, yes, but rarely the sin of our present goodness. We are wretched in our evil past, yes, but never wretched through and through in the present tense. Bottom line, we are sinners not simply because we sin. Rather, we sin because we are, by our very nature, sinners through and through. Hence the Apostle Paul's conundrum in Romans chapter 7. The good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not do, that I do. The rotting grave clothes of Lazarus were, of course, eventually cast off. The stinking garments of our sinful nature, however, remain clinging to us still. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Let the rotting stench of our sinful nature remind us daily of the sheer magnitude of our problem that necessitated a special kind of grace imputed to our account, made possible only through Christ Jesus, whom God hath specifically set forth to be our propitiation through faith in his blood, that we can then declare his righteousness, not ours, for the remission of sins. We therefore cannot help but lay prostrate continually at the foot of the cross, each day, each and every hour, each and every minute, pleading boldly before the throne of grace, according unto the multitude of his tender mercies. I pray that you would do this often, lest you, by chance, forget that we are all, by our very nature, blind and hopeless, relentlessly deviant, fatally self-centered, incorrigible beyond repair, wildly unpredictable, and totally depraved, until that day when we are glorified, perfected, and complete in God's holy presence. God bless you, my brothers and sisters.
Wow, huh? Wow. What was the Paul
saying? Amen.
Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And friends, if you and I, as Christian men and women, battle carnality, self-centeredness, and selfishness, and our will, and our way, and our pride, if we battle that, what must the unsaved be like? Can you even imagine the depths of the depravity in Washington, D.C.? Can we even begin to imagine it? Huh? That without Jesus Christ, there is no righteousness. and Washington, D.C. denies him, openly denies him, openly resists his word, resists his laws, openly defiant of it. How can we possibly expect to reform government if Christ is not in the reformation movement? And I've said over and over and over, I'm ambivalent on Donald Trump. I'm certainly ambivalent on Elon Musk. But I'm not ambivalent on the church. Will the church engage? Will the church engage? Because you know what's going to happen? They're going to be screaming and hollering and rioting and stuff like we ain't never seen. And you know who has a history of being the first one to fold? You got it. The Christians. The Christians. Do you understand that we're living in a culture and a society that the God-hating demonic left has foisted upon us? You understand that we're living by their rules? You understand that whether you like him or whether you don't like him, Donald Trump came in and said, out of here, you a-holes. You're out of here. You're out of here. You're out of here. You're out of here. And Christians complain because he's too harsh. Oh, well, we shouldn't be thrown. Yeah, it's stealing's against the law, isn't it? It's against God's law. Stealing is. Thievery is against the law. Our government is the biggest thieves. And we're supposed to forgive them and move on. Justice, baby. It's supposed to be justice. But there's injustice in our own lives. There's injustice in our own churches. Churches are, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Take a deep breath. Get that on. Judgment begins at the house of the Lord. That's right. Okay. Here's what I put number one. Put it up there. Put up number one. Because I said the other day, I promise, 5 minutes and I'll open it up. What would draw a person to church? If you were going to go right now and invite your neighbors to church, what would you say? Why would you want them to come to your church? I'm not making fun of your church. What would be the message? You need to come to our church. Why? We really like it. We have good music. The people are really nice. It won't be long. It's only an hour. Why would you invite somebody to your church? Your church. Good question, Coach Dave. Why would I take someone who doesn't understand the gospel to church? It'd be my job, wouldn't it be, to minister to them so they understand that when they went to church, what church is about? Or I just take them to church and let the pastor reel them in. Is that what I do? Let the pastor reel them in? Really? See, Christianity, talk about home church, that's where I'm going to go here. Home churches, that's the way the gospel was built. That's the way the gospel was built. Wouldn't build them big mega churches with 5 campuses and pastors in charge of everything. Pastor's king. Pastor ain't king. He's a servant. Supposed to be. In an American church, hey, Dale, don't take this wrong, because Dale's in here. Pastor Clint. People say, oh, I go to Pastor Dale's church. Well, good for you, but it ain't his church. Yeah. Oh, I go to Pastor Clint's church. Well, good for you, but it ain't his church. What do you mean Pastor Clint's church? Your body. I don't go and say, hey, come on over to Coach Day's family. No, it's our family. It's our family. Come join us. It's a mindset, friends. It's a mindset. We have to get beyond this mindset. And this mindset that has swept across America in the last since satellite television and all that, this prosperity gospel, this you come to Jesus and you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, and your problems are all going to go away. Well, that's the same reason that I would have a barbecue so people could come and eat the good food. Not that they would have to change, not that the food would change them. No, but come week after week after week, we'll have good music, we'll have smoke machines, we'll sing, give you encouraging messages. In fact, I've had people say to me, Coach Dave, I don't go to church to be discouraged. I go to be encouraged. Well, that's great. But the Bible says, encourage yourself in the Lord. I go to church for the battle plan. What's the battle plan today, Pastor? What are we doing this week, Pastor? Is that happening? Is that happening anywhere where people are going to church? No, it's not. Because we've made the gospel about us, what we get out of it. A wretched man that I am. So I love the Faith Hall of Fame. Hebrews 11. Ask yourself if this is the type of Christianity that we're having today, and will this is this the Christianity of the future? Go down to about verse 10. Go down to about verse 10. Keep going. It tells about Sarah did this, and then somebody did this, and okay, here we are. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them far off. See, I work hard today because I see far off for my grandchildren. And they were persuaded and embraced in them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, scroll down, please. Go on farther. Go on. Talk about Abraham did this by faith, and you know what he did with his son by faith. Isaac blessed Jacob, so all these things by faith. Jacob did this, and by faith Joseph did this, and by faith Moses did this, and then by faith Moses did this, and choosing rather suffer affliction than esteeming the approach of the greater riches. By faith he forsake Egypt. Through faith he kept Passover. By faith he passed through the Red Sea. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith the harlot received blessed love. And what more shall I say? So I was just telling you about a few of them. What more shall I say? If time won't give me a chance, tell you about Gideon, what Barak did, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel. I didn't get a chance to tell y'all about them, who didn't just go to church, but through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths. This is our faith. This is our Christianity. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women's received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging. Yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were cut in half. They were tempted. They were slain. The sword, they wandered. So not your best life now, is it? Wandering about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, didn't make it to the rapture. They didn't receive the promise, because they knew that God had provided some better thing for us. That they who started the race aren't going to be made perfect without us doing our part. And we have a Christianity today where it's all about you, me, and how we can get the blessings of God in our lives. And these guys are waiting on us. World wasn't worthy. All right, I got that one out. I feel better. Dave Allison or Sherry, both of you coming in.
Good morning, Coach. Thanks so much.
That won't fill a church, Coach, will it, Dave? That won't fill a church when we call people to come and die. That ain't going to fill a church.
No, Coach. Sherry read a quote from Rich Mullins. Unfortunately, he died way too young, but he's one of the few Christian artists that I really admired, because Rich Mullins despised fame. Even though he was very successful, he despised it. That's the last thing he wanted. He knew he had an anointing, but he did not want to use it for his glory. And he said something very profound about church. He said, you know, he says, the reason I go to the church is because I'm a hypocrite. And he said, I find it odd that people are bothered by being called hypocrites. He said, isn't that what we all are?
Yeah.
When we're going to church, to try to become just a little bit less hypocritical. Amen. That's my goal.
That's me.
And he said, you know, it's funny. The only people that really have it all together and got it all right, those are the guys you see out walking their dog on Sunday. Those are the guys you see jogging Sunday. They obviously, they got it all right. They're not hypocrites, but I need to go so I can become a little less hypocritical. And Coach, I really want to point this out. And Spencer, whoever this, could you bring up Revelation 2, chapter 2? Put that on screen.
He's working on it. It's up there.
Okay, right there. Chapter 2, or verse number 2. what does the Lord say? He said, and unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things. And he said, but then too, I know thy works. Keep going down, Spencer. Keep going down. Keep going. Keep going. Oh, go back up a little bit. But anyways, what I was going to going down, what he kept saying, keep going down a little bit. In Smyrna, write these things and keep going down a little bit. What is it? 9? I know that works. Keep going down a little further. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Whoop. 13. I know that works. What's God looking at here?
His works.
Dave, don't we do that when we go to football games? We want to see their works. We go to baseball, we want to see their works.
Amen, Coach. So like the Bible said, the righteous barely make it in. Where will the unrighteous stand? So, Coach, keep being the sodium podium.
I'm going to steal that. Sodium podium. Thank you, man. Pastor Clint, come on in. Not beating up on you, Pastor Clint. I love you like my brother.
Hey, I know that, Coach. No, I think the church has done a lot more damage than we realize. When I witness to people, I very seldom invite them to church because I learned a long time ago I'm not out to build my church. I'm out to build the kingdom.
Amen.
And I ask them, instead of asking them to church, I ask them if they've been born again. And the damage that pastors you were talking about, they want control. Well, they have it in the American psyche that they have to be at church to be saved.
Right.
And, you know, you talk with somebody that's lost, that's under conviction. Well, I'll go to church and get saved. They think they can't get saved on the street, that there has to be some kind of ritual in church to be saved. And by Sunday, they're not under conviction anymore, and, you know, they're still lost. The church has done a tremendous, tremendous damage to the kingdom, if you want to know the truth.
Yep.
Amen. And I'm sorry to say that. But
yeah. Well, Clint, if the church was being effective, we wouldn't see what we see, right? Huh? You know them by their fruit. If the Christian message was going forth the way it should be, we wouldn't see all this mess that we're seeing. That's the way I see it, man.
Well, I mean, abortion, the way our government's run, everything falls at the feet of the church.
It does. That's right. Folks, let me throw this. I want to mix this in real quick. Then Jack, I'm coming. Dale, I'm coming. I want you to think about this. Excuse me. I was having this conversation yesterday, and I don't know. We know that Washington, D.C. is the District of Columbia. It's not a state. It's not a state. You all can name the 50 states, can't you? Y'all can. Used to have 48, and then we added Hawaii and Alaska. Now we got 50 states. Is Washington, D.C. one of the states? No. Washington, D.C. is the District of Columbia. And I want you to consider this. I want you to think about this. That's where the corporation of the United States government is in Washington, D.C. Has Donald Trump and his team come to the realization that he's not president of the United States? He's the head of the Washington, D.C. corporation. And what we are seeing is the dismantling of the Washington, D.C. corporation.
Boom!
Amen.
Boom.
And we don't understand it, because we don't understand our government. Is he president of the United States? I suppose. But isn't everything he's doing being done in Washington, D.C.? Isn't he cutting it off at Washington, D.C.? All those programs, keep that in mind. Jack McCarthy, come on in.
Yeah, Coach. Just to parallel what Clint was saying in the political thing, we're so far removed from our roots, we don't even understand. It's so hard to get back to what there's in the queue. Somebody asked the question about where does Dodge get its authority? Well, actually, Dodge has more authority because it's regulating government than the CIA or the FBI do. They have
Jack,
no
authority. It's regulating the D.C. It's regulating Washington, D.C. It's not regulating America.
So it carries the authority of the executive department, whereas the CIA and the FBI are trying to regulate you, and they have no authority to do that.
Amen. Amen. So it's a battle over who's going to control the corporation, folks. Did you ever look at it that way? It's not Republican, Democrat. It's a dismantling of that. What do they call it? The deep state. Wow. Dale.
Coach, I got to start with, you know, there's an acronym, MOAB, mother of all bombs. This, I'm telling you, man, maybe it's just me. This is a MOAT, M-O-A-T, mother of all truth day right here. This is absolutely incredible because like any good business, you open up the books. We are losing money here. Why? And Dodge is not over any of these entities. All they're doing is going in and saying, what have you been writing checks for? What have you been spending money on? And that's what it is. And the ones who are squealing are the ones who have been getting money from this. Boom. Let's start with that. Man, I tell you what, coming off from, you know, Pastor Clint is exactly, that is a mindset of God. It is not my job, Coach. I got a small 50-member church. It is not my job to build a church. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Jesus said in the red ink, "And upon this rock, I will build my church."
Oh.
My church. It's not my church, Coach. It's his church.
It's his church.
I got to be kingdom-minded. Listen, I don't bring people to church either. I bring them to Jesus. Last thing, Coach, this is not, you know, we say if you want to really know a person, go talk to his family, right? Go ask, if you really want to know if a person's a Christian, watch this, Coach. Ooh, go talk to his neighbors. Mm. Go talk to his neighbors. See what his neighbors say. So yesterday, I'm working at my neighbor's across the street. He does not come to church, but he came to church when you were there. He's a real nice guy. So I have two neighbors. I know one of them's a liberal, this guy, right? And I'm over there. I'm fixing some electrical problem, and I'm fixing it. I didn't say anything. All I did, hey, we're friends or whatever. He looks at his five-year-old son, and he says this, "Emmett, I want you to know something. Look over there at Mr. Dale. That is a real servant of God." Wow. Coach. I'm just there. I'm just there to help. I got another neighbor who's a liberal. I mean, but he's not a bleed. I'm just telling you, we have differences in our politics. I installed a standby generator, whatever. We're talking in my backyard one day. This is what he said. Just what he said to me. He says, "Dale, we don't see eye to eye anything, you know, and some of the stuff." He goes, "But I can tell you one thing. You're the real deal." Mm. Coach, you want to find out how Christian you really are? Let me go talk to your neighbors. Do they see Jesus in you? You know, we can go talk to your family, but I'm telling you, Coach, this is, you love your neighbor, but man, mother of all truth message today.
Amen. Thanks, man. Thanks. Judd.
Amen, Dale.
Yeah, this is fabulous. So Trump, as people have seen this yesterday, is going to be shutting down the Department of Education.
Yeah!
Boom!
Why do we need a Department of Education? Can somebody explain? Do you have any idea how much money is given to bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. over education? Go ahead, John.
Well, this is fabulous because they're looking at the money, and if you look and you dig into the money between the Department of Education, this is really, really interesting to think that their budget goes back through the CIA. And you think about these topics. There's just lots of topics. The food that you eat in school, the type of organization that you sit down and the things you learn, testing, things like, remember beep testing where you beep your ears?
Yep.
Seeing who's susceptible to what frequencies and things like this. Where did that data go? Does anybody know where that went to find out who's susceptible to the frequencies or the tones or who's being programmed? Yeah, we just jumped off the boat in terms of conspiracy topics. However, when people start to understand what they were doing to the children, it's an absolute abomination. But now we're talking about the CIA, and we're talking about Mossad. So yesterday, Trump brings in Benjamin Netanyahu to the United States, rolls out the red carpet. Hey, blah, blah, blah. Treat him with royalty. He even pushed his chair in behind him. And people are like, what the heck is going on? And they gave a speech and told Benjamin Netanyahu, we're taking over Gaza. And literally, he was not expecting it. He did not know what was going on. He couldn't say anything before the people. And talk about a master move no one saw coming. And now from a biblical perspective, what is this going to do? Because literally, he just neutered Benjamin Netanyahu, and he did it with a smile.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know, folks, I don't know if you saw that. He said they were going to take over the Gaza Strip, that he was going to clean it up, and that they were going to put troops there so that Israel be protected. Now, hang on, man. I don't even want to get into that, Judd. What does that do with end-time theology? What does that do with that?
Yeah, and so the interesting part of that whole thing is, if you watch Benjamin Netanyahu's face, he was not expecting that at all. It, literally, his face just went blank as to, like, holy crap, Trump just flipped the script on me.
So we could save some money if we cleaned house in Israel then, too, couldn't we, huh?
Yeah, but it stops all wars.
Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Good catch, Judd. Jeff Nares.
Hey, Coach.
Hey.
Yeah, and, well, you know, the federal government consists of Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico, Guam, and the Virgin Islands. That's it.
That's it.
And, yeah, again, but
Jeff,
so.
Jeff, say that again. So said, slow learners in here.
What's that?
Say it again, because we have slow learners in here.
So the federal government is made of Washington, D.C., you were talking earlier, Puerto Rico, Guam, and the Virgin Islands.
All right, good. Go ahead.
Right? Okay. So, anyway, what I was getting at is that's all it is. And you asked if Donald Trump knew if he was president of the United States, the actual United States. Well, I don't know if he knows that or not, but I can tell you that yesterday and now several occasions, the U.S. flag, the United States flags behind him had no gold fringe or tassel.
Mm.
And I've noticed that every time he's up there now.
Yes,
you guys notice that?
Huh?
Yeah. Huh? So there's something to that, because it's always got the gold fringe. I mean, it infuriates me, but I've noticed several occasions now, including yesterday.
I wonder. Yeah, yesterday totally had no gold fringe.
I wonder if
it was deliberately standing behind Benjamin Netanyahu.
Over the last 4 years, everything he's been through, I wonder if he hadn't been huddling with some guys who've been telling him what's really going on. Here's what's really going on. Do you see Flynn? Did you see? Oh, I wish I had it. What General Flynn said? Huh? Oh, Lord. You think Flynn knows about the corporation? I think he probably does, doesn't he? I think he probably does. Gino.
Yeah, I just wanted to say something to people to think about. When I said yesterday that we're not U.S. citizens, we automatically, when you go fill out your employment paper, your government tax paper, the first thing they ask, are you a U.S. citizen? You mark that. Yeah, I am. No, you're not.
That's right.
You're automatically submitting yourself under that corporation, which when they make laws, they do not pertain to you and me.
That's right. That's right, Gina. But we've been trained that they have been, right?
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, I got one more thing I want to get in here real quickly. Pull up number four. Pull up number four. How much time? I got 7 minutes. Oh, this is good. This is good. Number four. USAID-funded bioweapon programs using tax dollars, which meant that taxpayers were funding their own deaths. Arrest the plan. This is really good. I don't. It's 6 minutes. Maybe you can put a 1.5. We'll get through as much as we can. Go ahead.
Function.
That's not the question. The question is, did you fund coronavirus research in Wuhan, China?
Before my time, there was the PREDICT program with which you're familiar, which ended in China in 2019.
This is a $200 million program.
Stop. USAID's funding all of it, folks. USAID is funding it. That's why they can lie and say, no, USAID was funding it. They gave the money to NGOs, and then the NGOs funded it. Go ahead.
GAO has also identified that some of these grants went directly to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, where there is a suspicion that the lab leak began that began the pandemic. Has USAID awarded funds to the Academy of Military Medical Sciences in China?
Not to my knowledge, but I'd have to.
I think the answer is once again yes. GAO has found that there have been subawards of NIH money, as probably as well as USAID money, that went to the Academy of not just medical research, military medical research in China. Now, part of the unknowns here is we can't get the records to look at this. So I've been asking for months and months for records. In September of last year, I wrote Ms. Powers, the USAID, a request asking for records from the PREDICT program. These are not classified. These are simply records of scientific research, and we want to read the grants to find out what they were doing and whether the research was dangerous or not. The response I got from your agency was USAID will not be providing any documents at this time. They're just unwilling to give documents on scientific grant proposal. We're paying for it. They're asking for $745 million more in money, and we get no response. So 2 weeks ago, the ranking member, Risch, myself, and 25 other Republican senators, unfortunately, so far, signed a letter once again. It's still no response. We're not asking for classified information. We're not asking for anything unusual. 20 million people died around the world. You're supposed to be an agency that cares about the death of people around the world. We, you know, talk about starvation and famine, and 20 million people died from a virus, and you won't give us the basic information about what grants you're funding around the world and who you're funding. Should we be funding the Academy of Military Medical Research in China? They're now off limits. But did we fund them? And who was making the decision? You know who ran the PREDICT program? UC Davis. Have you had any conversations with UC Davis about research in China and whether it was advisable?
So again, to set the record straight, first of all, the PREDICT program ended in 2019. We have people...
And yet it goes on in other forums and other names.
That's certainly not USAID program.
Well, you have a program called Emergency Pandemic Threats Program still, don't you?
If I could just finish in response to the first set of allegations, we have provided hundreds and hundreds of pages of documents related to the PREDICT program for the very reason that you say, because we are
involved. Not to us.
We are, again, as I know you had an exchange with Secretary Blinken as well, consistent with longstanding practice.
Not going to give them to us.
Responsive to the committees of jurisdiction.
Who are these people? Who are these people? Folks, who are these people? Who are these people? Say it again. Who are these people? Spencer, I just sent you one more thing. I think somebody sent it to me. Just sent it to you real quickly. Oh, man, we got 4 minutes, right? Boy, we have been. Final warning. Pull this up. Flynn, General Flynn. This is my final warning as it relates to confirmation of real Donald Trump nominees. If there are people inside of the ODNI, the CIA, or the FBI that are working to subvert the nominations of Gabbard, Patel, and Kennedy, I'm writing to let you know you better stop now and think before you go any further. There are so many people that are ready to be whistleblowers, and there's so much reporting currently flowing, not classified leaks, but leaks of subversive and treasonous behavior that has to end. And trust, if it doesn't, you will be caught. You will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. February 25th. General Flynn. Something's happening here, folks. And you got to know this. The mainstream media is going to do everything they can to distract you and distract me and say, oh, look at the poor kids that are starving. And oh, look at the poor people that aren't getting. Oh, look at all the folks. They have been taking our money and using it to undermine our country. That's what USAID has been all about. We have got to stand so strong and so firm on this. Now, hang on. I don't know about Trump. I don't know which team he's on. He looks like he's on mine right now. Trust but verify. Should I trust Elon Musk? He certainly has an alternative motive. He's just not doing this out of the goodness of his heart. But the Bible says there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. And could the Lord use Elon Musk to do that? Clint.
If you look at the list that they give out, what that USAID is given to, number one, they said it's run by the CIA, that they're ultimately responsible. But if you look, 90% of it is gay, trans, perversion junk. Yep. And the other 10% is green energy. And that's all it is. And what they're trying to do is indoctrinate the world on this perversion junk, and it's amazing. But I heard Elizabeth Warren yesterday say, talking about USAID, and said, we're living a nightmare. And that just tickled me. That was the funniest thing I've heard.
It's because it's how they're advancing their agenda, folks. It's how they're advancing their agenda. And until we got to come to realization that Washington, D.C., the U.S. government in Washington, D.C., it's not the American government, friends. It isn't.
And there are those working behind the scenes who understand that perfectly. Got to trust the plan. Trust but verify. Oh, my God. I wish I had more time. See you tomorrow.